Morning. Please open in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I was reading your scripture readings, the first five verses from that chapter. I appreciate those five verses being read. I mistakenly gave Sean the first four verses, and it was brought out to my attention, and fifth verse is included in my sermon at the end of the lesson as a conclusion to it. So I appreciate being brought out that it goes along with those four verses and being read in our scripture hearing. But this morning we'll be focusing especially on verses 3 and 4. But before we read those verses, we need to understand the setting in which Paul wrote them. This is one of Apostle Paul's final letters. Knowing that his earthly life was nearing its end, Paul writes to Timothy, a younger evangelist and preacher for Christ's cause, with a sense of urgency. These are not casual remarks. They're the words of a faithful servant of Christ who wants the gospel to continue to be preached faithfully after he is gone from this life and this world. Beginning in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul reminds Timothy that he is giving this charge in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. It states again there in verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will live to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Timothy's responsibility was not to please people, nor to measure success by popularity. His responsibility was to remain faithful before God. And because of that, Paul gives Timothy a simple but powerful command in verse 2. That charge was to preach the word. That command is the foundation for everything that follows in the next few verses. Paul does not say, preach what people enjoy hearing. He does not say, preach what is popular. He does not say, preach what will attract the largest audience, although that's what a lot of the so-called churches in our world thinks today is the truth. He simply says, preach the word. Then Paul explains then why that command is so necessary. In verses 3 and 4, he warns Timothy that a time is coming when many people will no longer endure sound teaching. Rather than submitting themselves to God's truth, they will seek teachers who will tell them what they already want to hear. In doing so, they will turn away from the truth and wander into myths. That warning was true in Timothy's day, and it has been true throughout history, and it remains true even today. This passage is not merely describing false teachers, it is describing hearers. Paul is concerned with the condition of the listener's heart. A teacher cannot satisfy itching ears unless someone first desires to have those listening ears scratched. Therefore, we must examine before we examine anyone else, Scripture calls us to examine ourselves first. The question this morning is not, do I know someone that has itching ears? The question before us this morning is, could I develop itching ears, or do I have itching ears? The warning of Scripture is addressed to believers. It reminds us that every disciple of Christ must continually love the truth enough to accept it, even when it challenges us, corrects us, or exposes sin in our lives. Throughout this lesson, we will allow Scripture to answer four important questions. What does it mean to have itching ears? What examples do the Bible give us about this attitude? How can we guard ourselves against having itching ears? And how should every faithful Christian respond to God's truth? As we study together this morning, our goal is not simply to gain information. Our goal is to allow God's word to search our hearts. In Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 and 24, the psalmist prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That should be our prayer this morning as well. If God's word reveals that we need correction in our lives, may we receive it with humility. If it reveals areas where we need repentance, may we repent. If it strengthens our faith, may we indeed give God the glory he deserves. Our desire should never be merely to hear a sermon. Our desire should be to hear God speak through his word. So with that attitude, let us turn our attention to Paul's warning in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, and consider the question, do I have itching ears? So now that we have considered the setting of Paul's warning, let us turn our attention to the warning itself. Paul writes in verses 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." These two verses give us one of the clearest descriptions in all of Scripture of what happens when a person's heart is no longer fully submitted to God's word. Notice that Paul does not begin by talking about the false teachers themselves. He begins by talking about the listeners instead. The problem begins in the heart of the hearers. The false teacher gains influence because someone first desires to hear a message that agrees with what he already wants to hear. That is why Paul first says that they will not endure sound teaching. The word endure carries the idea of patiently accepting or tolerating something. Paul says there will come a time when people will no longer tolerate sound doctrine. It is not that they cannot understand it. It is not that they cannot find it. It can be found. It's that they simply no longer wish to submit to it. And why is that? Because sound teaching does something that our flesh often resists, and that is that God's word corrects us. As was read in our 9:30 hour this morning, Paul had already written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Those four purposes are wonderful to the humble heart, but to the proud heart, and for those who have itching ears, correction can often feel uncomfortable. Reproof exposes sin. Correction demands change. And training requires that we have discipline. Yet every one of those things is an act of God's love towards his people. The person with itching ears begins to resist that process. Instead of asking, what does God want me to become? He begins asking, what message makes me feel comfortable? Paul then uses the expression itching ears. The Greek verb translated itching is netho. I believe I pronounced that correctly. And that verb netho, the word literally refers to an itch or a tickling sensation. But Paul here is using it figuratively. Rather than allowing scripture to define truth, these hearers decide messages that desire messages that satisfy their own preferences. Their ears crave something pleasant, something agreeable, something that confirms what they already want to believe. Notice that Paul himself explains exactly what he means. We don't have to speculate the definition. According to the text, people with itching ears do four things, and this is the progression. First, they refuse sound teaching. Second, they accumulate teachers according to their own passions and desires. Third, they turn away from listening to the truth. And lastly, they wander into myths. That progression deserves careful attention. It doesn't begin with the myths. It begins with rejecting sound doctrine. Once God's truth is no longer welcomed, something else will eventually take its place. When truth is rejected, error quickly fills the empty space. And Scripture gives us examples of this pattern throughout history. In Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11, the people of Israel did not want God's prophets to speak what was right. Instead, they demanded, "Speak to us smooth things." Turn with me, if you will, quickly to Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11. Isaiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 9. The Lord speaking here says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease before us." You see, they preferred comforting words over convicting truth. They wanted that smooth talk, and they wanted the prophets to prophesy deceitful words. Also in Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. Jeremiah chapter 5, starting at verse 30. "An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so, but what will you do in the end?" In these verses, the Lord declared that the prophets prophesied falsely. The priests ruled at their own direction. But notice those final words that were written in verse 30. The people loved to have it so. The problem was not merely dishonest teachers and false prophets. The people of Israel desired the dishonest teaching. Perhaps one of the clearest illustrations comes from the life of King Ahab. We've been studying on Wednesday nights 1 and 2 Kings, and we're reminded of the sins in the life of King Ahab. And in 1 Kings chapter 22 and in verse 8, 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8, "So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'There is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him.'" Why did he hate him? "Because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." When Jehoshaphat asked whether there was a prophet of the Lord still left in Israel, Ahab answered in that verse in 1 Kings 22:8, that there is one left. It was Micaiah. But there was only one problem. Ahab hated him. And the reason that he hated him so much is because he never prophesied good about Ahab. It was always evil. And Ahab never wanted to hear anything evil about him. Ahab never questioned whether Micaiah spoke God's message. He knew that he did. He simply disliked what God had to say about him. And that, my friends, is a danger of having itching ears. When the message confronts our desires, we may begin looking for another voice. But God's truth does not change because we seek a different messenger. The greatest example is found in the ministry of Jesus himself. In John chapter 6, after Jesus taught many difficult truths concerning discipleship and faith, many of those who had followed him in verse 60 said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" It was starting to get real for those people. It was starting to get difficult. And after the teachings of Jesus, they started saying, "This is a hard saying. Who then can understand it?" And maybe one of the most sobering words that John ever records in verse 66, if you drop down a few verses, John records that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Notice what Jesus did not do, though. He did not soften the message. He did not remove the difficult teaching. He did not alter the truth to keep the crowd. Instead, he allowed those who rejected the truth to leave. So that reminds us that faithfulness is measured by obedience to God, not by popularity with people. So what then is the lesson for us? Every Christian should regularly ask, do I welcome the whole counsel of God? Am I thankful when Scripture corrects me? Do I listen only to sermons that encourage me, or do I also appreciate sermons that convict me? When God's word disagrees with my opinions, which one changes, me or God's word? A humble heart never says, how can I make Scripture agree with me? Instead, it asks, how can I bring my life into agreement with the written Scripture? That is the opposite of itching ears. A faithful disciple does not merely love the comforting parts of God's word. He loves all of it. He rejoices in its promises. He accepts its commands. He receives its corrections. He welcomes its rebukes. Because he knows that every word of God has spoken its true, righteous, and is given for his good. So for the few minutes that we have this morning, we'll take a look at how we can guard ourselves against having itching ears. And after seeing the biblical examples that we looked at, we may be tempted to think, I would never do that. I would never turn away from Jesus. I would never have itching ears. But Scripture encourages us to be careful about that kind of confidence, doesn't it? If you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul wrote to those in Corinth, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. The warning about itching ears was not written merely for unbelievers. It was written so that God's people would remain faithful to his truth. So the question naturally becomes, how do we guard ourselves from developing itching ears? Thankfully, God has not left us without direction. Throughout Scripture, he provides clear principles that protect our hearts and keep us anchored in his truth. First, we must develop a love for God's word. The first safeguard is not simply reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is good, but learning to love the Bible is what's key. Peter writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Think about the picture that Peter paints here. A healthy newborn naturally longs for milk because it is essential for life and growth for that newborn. In the same way, a healthy Christian develops a genuine desire for God's word. Notice that Peter does not describe God's word as something we merely tolerate. He says we should long for it. The psalmist expressed that same attitude throughout Psalm 119. He delighted in God's law. He meditated on it. He treasured God's commandments. He loved God's testimonies. He recognized that God's word was not a burden, but a blessing. So ask yourself, when I open my Bible, do I do so because I have to? Or do I do so because I want to? Do I hunger for God's truth the way my body hungers for food? A heart that genuinely loves God's word is far less likely to exchange it for messages that merely satisfy personal preferences. Secondly, we must welcome correction in our lives. One of the clearest signs of spiritual maturity is a willingness to be corrected. The book of Proverbs repeatedly teaches this principle. For example, in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, it states, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. That is remarkably direct from the proverb writer. The wise person understands that correction is not an enemy. Correction, instead, is a gift. It keeps us from wandering. It exposes dangers we may not see ourselves. Psalms 15, 31 and 32 teaches that the one who listens to life-giving reproof gains understanding. And David demonstrated this attitude in Psalm 141, verse 5, when he wrote, "Let a righteous man strike me, it is kindness." What an extraordinary perspective. David viewed loving correction as an act of kindness because it helped him remain faithful to God. Our natural tendency is to defend ourselves, but God's word calls us to humble ourselves. Whenever scripture exposes an area that needs changing, our response should not be resistance. Our response should be thankfulness and gratitude. God corrects those that he loves. Third, we must test everything by scripture. Another safeguard against itching ears is learning to evaluate everything that is taught by God's word. The Bereans provide the perfect example. We often look to them as the perfect New Testament example for examining the scriptures, whether to see that they saw to, as they saw, examined the scriptures to see whether what Paul was preaching was the truth or not. And that is a perfect example for us to follow as well. Think about who Paul was. He was an apostle, yet even Paul's teaching was measured against scripture. If the Bereans examined an apostle's teaching carefully, surely we should examine every preacher, every teacher, and every religious message we hear today. Isaiah declared in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, "To the teaching and to the testimony, God's revealed word has and always will be the standard." Likewise, Paul instructed believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, "Test everything, hold fast what is good." And John adds in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Our responsibility is not to accept something simply because it sounds convincing. A lot of false teachers can sound convincing. Nor should we reject something simply because it challenges us. Instead, we ask one question: does this agree with Scripture? Not, what do I think? Not, what have I always believed? Not, what is popular right now? But instead, what does God's word actually say about this? That question protects us from deception. The fourth thing to guard ourselves against itching ears, we must continue in sound doctrine. Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed." Notice the word "continue" here. Faithfulness is not a one-time decision. Let me say that again. Faithfulness in God is not a one-time decision. It is a lifelong commitment. Paul repeats this emphasis throughout his letters to Timothy, to Titus. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Timothy is told to keep a close watch on himself and on the teaching that he teaches. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, he is instructed to follow the pattern of sound words. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, elders are commanded to hold firmly to the trustworthy word so that they may both encourage with sound doctrine and rebuke those who contradict it. Truth is not something we graduate from. It is something we continue in. Every generation must remain anchored to the same gospel once delivered to the saints. Fifth, we must become doers of the word. Listening and hearing is not enough. Perhaps one of the greatest protections against itching ears is simple obedience. James writes in James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Notice James's warning. Self-deception does not begin when we stop hearing. It begins when we hear without obeying. Jesus taught the same principle in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus teaches the multitude in the Sermon on the Mount about the wise man and the foolish man. A lot of kids know this story. Do we know this story? The wise man built his house on the rock. The rains came, the winds blew, and the house that was built on the rock, that house stood firm because it had a solid foundation. But the foolish man built his house on the sand. And when those rains came and the winds blew, that house fell. And great was its fall because that foundation was not solid. The wise man heard the words and acted upon them. He knew. Jesus says in verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he likens them to the wise man who builds his house on the rock. The wise man heard his words and acted upon them. The foolish man also heard his words. He also built the house. The difference was obedience and lack thereof. The foundation of the wise life is not merely biblical knowledge. It is biblical obedience. Sometimes Christians ask why their faith seems weak. One possible answer is that their knowledge has outpaced their obedience. God never intended his word to stop at our ears. He intended it to reach our hearts and transform our lives. Every sermon should move us towards obedience to his word. Every Bible study should produce greater faithfulness in him. Otherwise, we risk becoming hearers only. And lastly, we remain humble before God's word. Scripture teaches us that humility is essential. God says in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Notice that expression, trembles at my word. It describes someone who approaches Scripture with reverence, not arrogance, not pride, not assuming that God must agree with us. Instead, humility asks, Lord, teach me. The humble heart is willing to change. The proud heart insists that everyone else must change. James reminds us in James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A proud heart is fertile soil for itching ears because pride resists correction. Humility, however, welcomes God's instruction. As we look back over these six safeguards, they form a beautiful picture of faithful discipleship. A faithful Christian loves God's word, welcomes correction, tests every teaching by Scripture, continues in sound doctrine, obeys what God has revealed, and remains humble before the Lord. Notice something important, though. None of these safeguards are complicated at all. None require extraordinary abilities. Every one of them flows from a heart that simply desires to honor God above self. The person with itching ears asks, what message pleases me? The faithful disciple asks, however, what message pleases God? The single difference changes everything. As long as our greatest desire is to know and obey God's truth, we will be protected from the temptation to seek messages that merely satisfy our own preferences. But knowing these safeguards is not enough. Each one of us must ask whether we are actually living by them. As we come towards the close of our study this morning, let's return to the passage where we begin. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. You see, these verses is not simply a description of what some people will do. It is a warning intended to help every Christian remain faithful. Throughout this lesson, we have seen the progression that Paul describes. It begins with a refusal to endure sound teaching, and that refusal leads people to seek teachers who tell them what they want to hear. Eventually, they turn away from listening to the truth, and finally, they wander into myths. That progression should remind us of an important truth. No one just simply wakes up one morning and suddenly rejects God's word.
Spiritual drift usually begins with something much smaller and then gradually progresses. Perhaps a person begins ignoring passages that are uncomfortable to them. Perhaps he refuses correction when he needs it. Perhaps he or she becomes more interested in hearing messages that encourage or comforts them than messages that convict and make them uncomfortable. Little by little, if the heart is not guarded, love for truth can be replaced by love for comfort. That is why this warning deserves our careful attention. As we conclude, Scripture presents us with two very different responses to God's word. The first response is the response of itching ears. This response is like those who we saw in Israel in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10, who says, "Speak to us smooth things," and says, "I only want to hear what makes me comfortable instead." It measures sermons by how enjoyable they are. It measures teachers by how closely they agree with personal preferences. It welcomes God's promises, but resists God's correction. When truth becomes difficult, this heart begins looking elsewhere. The second response, though, is the heart of a faithful disciple. This heart, much like the heart here that Samuel displays in 1 Samuel 3, verse 9, that says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." This heart says, "Lord, teach me." It welcomes every part of God's word. It rejoices in all of God's promises. It accepts all of God's commands. It accepts and receives all of God's correction. And it trusts that whatever God says is always right, even when it challenges long-held opinions or personal desires. And that is a heart that we should desire. I did state that we would take a look at verse 5 as we close, and this is the time that we will do so. Verse 5 says, "But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Paul's final charge here is significant, that immediately after describing those with itching ear, Paul turns his attention back to the preacher himself. Paul writes in verse 5, "As for you." Those three words are powerful. Others may reject sound teaching. He says others may chase after myths. Others may seek teachers according to their own desires. But as for you, remain faithful. He tells Timothy to be sober-minded, to endure suffering, to do the work of an evangelist, and to fulfill his ministry. Notice what Paul does not tell Timothy to do. He does not tell him to change the message. He does not tell him to soften the truth. He does not tell him to preach whatever people want to hear to remain a popular preacher. Instead, he continues pointing Timothy back to the charge that was given to him back in verse 2, preach the word. The solution to itching ears has never been a different message. The solution has always been faithful proclamation of God's word and humble submission to it. So as we close, the question before us is deeply personal. It's not whether the world has itching ears. Scripture has already answered that question for us. The question is whether I will have ears that are willing to hear what God says. When Scripture agrees with me, will I rejoice? When Scripture corrects me, will I submit? When Scripture rebukes me, will I repent? When Scripture commands me, will I obey? Those questions reveal the condition of mine and your hearts far more than the opinions that I express. A faithful Christian is not someone who merely knows many Bible verses. A faithful Christian is someone whose life is continually shaped by the Word of God. Perhaps during this lesson, you have recognized areas where you need to grow. Perhaps you have realized there are times when correction has been difficult to accept. Perhaps you have seen moments when pride has stood in the way of obedience. If so, remember that God's correction is an expression of his love. He does not expose our hearts to discourage us. He exposes them so that we may be transformed. James tells us to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. That is the invitation from God to all of us today. Receive his word. Trust his word. Obey his word. Not because every command is easy, but because every command comes from a loving and righteous Father who always knows what is best. So today, each one of us stands before two paths. One path says, speak to me only what I want to hear. The other says, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. One path chooses personal preference. The other chooses God's truth. One path turns away from truth. The other continues in truth. One path wanders into error. The other leads towards life eternal. Every time we open the scriptures, every time we hear a sermon, every time we study God's word, we choose which path we will take. May we always choose the path of humble faith. May we love God's truth more than our own opinions. May we desire God's will more than our own comfort, and may we never become people with itching ears, but instead disciples of God and Jesus Christ who gladly receive the whole counsel of God. As Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. If you're subject to the invitation in any way this morning, whether it is to become a Christian, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, or whether it's because you need the prayers of the church, if you need help in any way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing the song that's been chosen.